May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you desire to be a saint? On Halloween, Ellen and I were doing some shopping. At the cashier, there was a bowl full of candy called Dots. You know Dots? They're all chemicals, but they're these wonderful little things that you eat, and they're addictive. I love Dots, so I joked with the cashier and pointed to my priest collar and said, "I am in costume, can I take one?" I saw her baffled expression as she asked, "You mean you are really not a priest?" I told her that I really was a priest, and she graciously still let me have a box of Dots. That kind of experience, though, does point to the fundamental truth that our outer appearance, our outer nature, is not what makes us who we are, especially in the eyes of Almighty God. What matters to God is, in fact, as strange as this may sound, your sainthood. And yes, God does call each one of us to a place of sainthood, a very high calling indeed, yet one that is worthy of the striving. Worthy of the striving. What exactly does that mean? Can that be the desire of our lives, to be a saint of God? I sing a song to the saints of God. God, help me to be one too. When Jesus walked up the side of that mountain, 2 miles west of Capernaum, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, he arrived to tell all that would listen that God had a new plan for the people of God. On that grassy hillside, a place where if you go, and I hope someday to get there, I understand the acoustics are amazing. So we can imagine Jesus there proclaiming in voice a life different than any other imagined, if one would only choose it. This was the moment that Jesus proclaimed that God desired God's people to live in a radically new way. A way that if it was lived to its fullest, was one that would later be called the life of a saint. His Sermon on the Mount turned the world on its head. As Jesus taught that the standards of the worlds were not God's. Appearance, money, relationships, laws, judgments, war, peace, it had all changed. A new age was inaugurated, and humanity has struggled to find its way through it to God ever since. In his classic work, The Sermon on the Mount, The Keys to Success in Life, Emmett Fox writes the following. The Bible is really a textbook of metaphysics, a manual for the growth of the soul, and it looks at all questions from this point of view. He writes, "It is impossible to emphasize this point too much. For this reason, it takes the broadest view of every subject. It sees all things in their relationship to the human soul. And it uses many common terms in a far wider sense than that given to them by common use." And so we hear Jesus say to his listeners, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How then do we understand being poor in spirit and that to be poor in spirit is somehow to be blessed. Most of us would not initially consider that to be a good thing. We use the term sometimes to say he's in poor spirits or she is in poor spirits. But here it's used, if you will, on its head. Christ might be saying that the only way that we can approach the life of a saint before God is when we admit to this kind of poverty, that you and I are very much poor in spirit, and that apart from God, we always will be. Today's lesson that we heard beautifully read from the book of Revelation reminds us through wonderful imagery of the saints gathered around the throne of God. And those saints represent us, the possibility of sainthood for all of us. Just 2 days ago, this past Friday, we celebrated the life and the love of one of our members, John Darcy, in this sanctuary. This church was filled for the first time in my time here. There were chairs set up in the aisle to accommodate and people standing. As we celebrated and mourned as well, the life of one that ended way too young at 49. And we heard this passage read at the burial office and Eucharist, because it said to everyone gathered, as it says to us today, that we have hope, we have trust as Christians, that at that very moment on Friday, and at this very moment today, John was with God in such a way that your loved ones are with God in such a way. When we sing around this altar in just a short bit, the Sanctus, holy, 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 it is a moment in the liturgy where we are proclaiming in our belief, in our theology, that all of the saints of God are gathered around us. It's a powerful moment, a moment that we believe that everyone who has gone on before us here at St. John's, as well as within our individual lives, is beckoned to join us around the altar of the Lord. All of the saints present. A moment, if you will, of Kairos, God's time. One of the graces for many who approach death is their recognition of the poverty of spirit that they have apart from God. That it is, in fact, the Lord that has given our lives meaning and purpose since our birth. And this first beatitude of Christ, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, proclaims that to find God, we must first empty ourselves. Can you empty yourself of that which keeps you from God because you desire to be a saint? Macrina Vidaker, poet, writes in the poem, The Prayer of the Empty Water Jar, these beautiful words: Jesus, I come into the warmth of your presence, knowing that you are the very emptiness of God. I come before you holding the water jar of my life. I came to be full by you, but I am already full. I am too full. I am full of things that crowd out your healing presence. I am so full there is no room for you. You ask me to reach into my water jar one by one. Jesus, you enable me to lift out the things that are a hindrance to my wholeness. Finally, I sit with my empty water jar. I hear you whisper, you have become a space for God. Now there is hope. And we are on the path of sainthood. Mother Teresa, one who in our lifetimes represents such a saint, once said, in order to be saints, you have to seriously want to be one. And St. Thomas Aquinas assured us that holiness is nothing else but a resolution made, the heroic act of a soul that surrenders to God. So let us today, on this All Saints Sunday, strive to answer with a burning desire God's call to sainthood. Let us remember all the saints in our lives who have gone on before us. And let us recognize that we must empty ourselves in order that God in Christ Jesus may fill us and lead us on just such a path. Amen.